Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
It's like a carbon, I could just have like a recording of that statement, and I'm trying to weed that statement out of my life, but I cannot. So we'll just have to deal with it. My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach Community Church, and I'm excited about today. We're doing something a little different in the sense that typically we run series that are one built on the other to kind of keep us in one mindset, kind of dealing with things that God wants to do in and through us for a longer period of time, and partly because of our guest speaker last week, Chris and Teen Challenge. I've just got some messages that are just whatever God's kind of bringing on my heart. And so this was one that I felt like God just laid on me through a book that I was reading. And actually, if you stay on the plan or you pick one up or read with us in the one-year Bible coming up this week in Luke 19, you'll hear a parallel version of what I'm going to be preaching today out of Matthew 25. But I've got a few disclaimers before I even build the story to talk about Matthew 25. And let me tell you what today isn't. Today is not, hear me, and I'm going to even share something that I felt like God spoke to me as an encouragement that I want to speak over you guys. Today is not a day to have God nor me beat you up about feeling that you haven't done enough. Okay? What we're going to talk about is the parable of the talents. And you could come out on the other side of this and like, I just need to do more and God will love me more. That is not at all what I'm saying. And I just want a disclaimer, and we're going to pray that out of here, that any condemnation, that it would have no foothold to rest in us, because this is not what he's saying. Because what we'll hear from the word today is God's given us everything that we need to be successful. It's even his that he gave us that we bring the increase to, and the increase is his, and it's going to be amazing. And let me just tell you, I can almost guarantee that everybody in here, if you've known Jesus for more than a day, has struggled with this idea of calling. And I don't mean necessarily calling, meaning like, because some people hear calling, they're like, oh, into ministry. I said that too, so be wary of saying never, because God laughs at never. He does. So just think about all those nevers you've ever said, and God may just go, let's see how you feel about that. So I just want to encourage. And if you don't know Jesus, the great thing is what Daniel shared just a second ago, he did all of that for you. All of the cross, everything that we celebrate, he did for you so that you can know him, and he's done everything in us so that we can have the opportunity to have our eyes open and our ears open to see and to hear our Creator speak to us. And so this is something, I'm just going to be honest, I want to, for as much as I physically can, that's not really the right phrase, but as much as I can, I want to be transparent. I don't want ever, and I grew up in this kind of mindset that, you know, the guy, I love preaching on the floor that you guys are so that you don't feel like that I'm any more holy because I'm up a level. I'm not. I'm a living, breathing human that is in the same world that you are, dealing with the same things. And I struggle with calling. You think, oh, but you moved your family to a foreign area to plant a church, and he struggles with calling. And this is what I want to kind of settle down on. I do. Every time it's not what I think it should be, I struggle with the idea, is this what God's called me to do? And this is just a word that I felt like God laid on me. And I just want to share, because I feel like the same things God's speaking to me, God wants to speak into you guys. And here's what it said, and it goes into what I'm going to preach today. It says, do not question your call. You did not give it to yourself, and you do not have the ability to remove it. So whatever God has placed, and he literally said that we're his workmanship created in him, and he prepares good works that we can walk into them. So even the good works that we're going to walk into, God has already put them in front of you so that you can walk into them. You cannot take what God has given from you and put it down. Like, I can no more walk, and I'm not, no fear that next week you're like, what happened to the church? We're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. But, like, it is so reassuring. And this is why we get in the Word, This is why we want to connect with the Father by seeing Him, by being with Him, because there will be times in your journey that you don't feel enough. And God needs to just breathe life into you, because that's where our source of life happens. Like the thing that I said to my family as we were taking communion, this is life and there is nothing else. Communion. What we're doing in communion, celebrating His crucifixion and our resurrection and life. This is life and there is nothing else. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29. And I want to prep it a little bit, just because it'll make a whole lot more sense if you get what's going on before Matthew 25. So in 24, you have Jesus telling stories to His disciples about that He is going to have to suffer on the cross. So He's telling them, He's leading up to the cross, He's warning them, I'm going to have to go and I'm going to pay in my life, and it's going to be for your good. And that's partly in John 17 that he was reading, and I think it's in 16. It's like, it's to your benefit that I go away. The disciples are like, no, it's not. But it is, and he spends all of 24, here's the subheadings, the signs of the close of the age, which isn't talking about Jesus being crucified. He's literally talking when God reconciles the world to Himself. And then the next one is the abomination of desolation, which is when the temple is going to be set up and they're going to, a person or thing is going to come in there and it's going to desecrate the Holy of Holies. And he's pre-warning this, and he's not even going away. And then the next section is the coming of the Son of Man, and then he has another section when no one knows the names. So let me just tell you, if you've ever been to a church where they tell you a date, which I will never do, ignore them. He even says, if someone says, here he is, ignore that. It will literally come in a flash of lightning, and it leads up to a couple of parables. And the parable right before this one is a little confusing, because we don't celebrate weddings in this way, but it's the parable of the 10 virgins, and the virgins have lanterns to prepare for when the bridegroom comes, and it's like, you know, when's the party going to start? And they kind of wait in anticipation, and they are supposed to, some of them, bring enough oil to keep that wick lit and going, and some of them don't. So they hear the bell, they hear the noise that the bridegroom's coming, and some of them realize that they didn't bring enough oil, and they're like, can we have some of yours? Like, I have sympathy and heart, like, I'd have been like, like, okay. But like, in the story, it didn't fit with what he's trying to say. There's some of them, they come to the ones that brought extra oil, and they're like, I'm not sure there's enough for both of us. So you need to go buy some, and they run to go buy some. And of course, by the time they come by, it is the party doors are closed and there's no getting in. And he's talking about, and this is what I want, the first thing I want you to understand. It's been a long time since Jesus made these declarations. It's been a long time since he's made these promises. And in that long time, we can lose heart. And the baseline of what I want you to hear today is that Jesus will return. And this is what the parable of the 10 virgins, this is what the parable of the talents that we're going to talk about today is, that he's gone off, and it's going to be a long time, but he will return. And the reason why we continue to be faithful now, the reason why we are shepherds of what he's given us, is because we're anticipating his return. And I think he knew that we would lose heart, and that's partly what this is, because he tells them it's going to be a while. And so here's a couple of things that you need to know as we begin. And what is a talent? A talent, which it's confusing because we think talent, like juggling, that's my, they're like, what is he doing? Juggling. We think of a talent, like standing in your hands and like, oh, I have a talent. You know, God give us a talent. What he's not talking about is natural abilities. This is not what this phrase, and literally a talent is a measurement of weight. And I think it was like between 56 and 60 pounds of something, bronze, silver, gold, depending on what the weight of measurement, and that would be what they got. So when they talk about getting a talent, one talent is like 20 years of wages given to a person at once. So the five talent guy gets 100 years, yes, math on the fly, struggle. Okay, 100 years of income all at once. So they're not talking about necessarily that God gives abilities, which he gives us abilities, which you'll hear about in the scripture, to work with the talent. Okay. Here's another thing. The man going away is Jesus, so this story is about him and his return. And the other thing that you need to understand, and this is what we struggle with, and this is why Jesus was very, very intentional about talking about money, which this is not a money talk, so like at the end of this, we're not taking up a special offering. So breathe. But he was very concerned because this, who does the talent, if it was given by the master, who does the talent belong to? The master. So we're talking about a story where the master gives what is his to his servants. And what the servants do with the talent is what is going to happen. So let's get into the word, and I'm going to kind of talk through it as we go. So starting in verse 14, which is going to be on the screen too, but I encourage you, if you've got Bibles with you, use them. It is not against any law that you can mark or write in your Bible. I've actually been coveting something new in my world, which is a Bible that has like journal sections on the side. Like, anyway, like I get excited about it, and I keep looking at it, and I don't know why. I feel a little judged. Like, why are you looking at it? Anyway, sorry, I'm weird. Okay. It's beautiful, though. Beautiful. Okay, so verse 14 in Bible, and this is going to be, I'm reading from the ESV, so if you have a different translation, that's okay, but it might sound a little different. But in verse 4, it says, "For it will be like a man." So he's telling a story. This is a parable that is to be, you know, not always. We don't stake our lives necessarily on just parables, because parables are stories that God uses to communicate his truth. And sometimes they can be a little confusing. Even his disciples were confused. And at times, like later on, like Jesus tells a parable, they're like, yeah, just what he said. And they get away from everybody else. And they're like, Jesus, what were you saying? So, you know, it's okay if they don't make sense at first. Great thing is to read things around them. He usually makes sense of what he's trying to say. But the man is going on a journey. So the man is talking about Jesus. He is proclaiming, hey, I am going to leave, and the journey is going to be long. And so he called his servants and entrusted them with his property. Key. Important fact, whose property, talents are these guys working with? Not theirs, but God's. And so in verse 15, it says, to the one he gave five talents, to another he gave two, and to another one. And this is key here. To each according to his ability. Now here's something, like in my preparation for this, I think sometimes we get a little envious, we get a little like jealous of other people's stuff, like calling, like, oh, they're such a better spiritual person than I am. And I always throw Billy Graham. Billy Graham is a famous preacher. I had a kid one time, he's like, who's Billy Graham? He's not here today, but he is sometimes. And so he had no idea. Billy Graham's a preacher. He has preached to millions of people over the years. So anyway, we can elevate and we can go, man, well, God loves him more. And here's another key thing that you need to understand. All God is looking for is obedience. And here's the next key, because you can be like, Billy Graham, that's obedience. Like, he's spoken to millions. He's done this. He's done that. He's went to all of these countries. You know, people know Jesus because of Billy Graham. And then you look at you and you go, well, I'm not that. And here's the key. The only thing that God is holding you accountable for is, are you being accountable? Are you being obedient with what God has given you? So don't look around the room during all of this, because some of you are like, who's a five-talent guy in here? I really don't think I am, okay? You know, I'm like a one-and-a-half-talent guy. And then some of you are like, who's the two-talent guy? And some of you are like, well, I hope I'm not the one-talent guy. It'll make sense if you've never heard the story in just a second. And so he gave them according to his ability. So there are some people that are called and destined to handle more than others, which is great, because five-talent guy and two-talent guy get the same credit and the same proclamation of each other. So he didn't go, five-talent guy, you're more amazing than two-talent guy. He gave them, he says the exact same thing. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Then he went away. So Jesus, he goes away, and he has been away for over 2,000 years, but there is a time coming in the future that he will return. And verse 16, it says, he who received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. And so also the one who had two talents made two talents more, but the one who had received one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Here's the interesting thing. This comes from a commentary. Whether this is true or not, I don't know. But in just a second, Jesus is going to talk about and basically question why he didn't put it in the bank. And so I want to kind of build so you'll have a little understanding. In one belief about this, that it wasn't his money, and so if he put it in the bank, he would have to declare that this was the master's money on note with the bank. Okay? You're like, what is he talking about? I'll get there. But if he dug it and put it in a hole and the master never came back, it's his money. But if it's in the bank and the master never comes back, it's still the master's money. And so some people think that this really is a selfish servant wanting to not only hide it because he was fearful of the master, but he wanted to one day maybe it would be his. And I think sometimes we look at our resources that God gives us and we declare, like, these are mine. Like, I worked hard for these things. And so in verse 19 it says, after a long time the master of those servants came to settle accounts with them. We will all be held accountable to God. All of us. Now there's, I don't necessarily want to deal with the idea that five-talent guy, two-talent guy, those were Christians, and one-talent guy wasn't. Because, not necessarily. Because if you hear that, you begin to go, well, if I don't work, I don't get loved by God, I don't get access into the joy, which isn't necessarily the truth, but that's just another, we can talk about that outside of today. And so he came and settled accounts with them. Verse 20, it says, and he who had received five talents came forward, and he bring five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. They weren't his money to begin with. He increased on what wasn't even his, and he gave the increase and the original to the master. And he said, and if you're new to this, this is what you want to hear. This is all you want to hear one day. This is, you want to hear this. And so here's the master talking to the first guy. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. This is all this life purpose is about, is to one day hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over the little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. And also with the one that had two talents, he came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. And the master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. The five-talent guy and the two-talent guy got the same thing, which I've already said, but you need to hear that. The only thing God is going to hold you accountable for is what you do with what he gave you. See, there's something that I want you to see here. It does not depend on the level of talent, but rather the obedience to enter into your master's joy. I was a youth pastor before this, and in the realm of youth pastoring, there can be like kind of coveting of other people's space, and the people that put on conferences for youth pastors, they're usually at the nicest facilities you will ever go to. And I went to one out in Oklahoma, and they had like a $10 million youth center, glassed in basketball, games, 1,500 seat auditorium. It was amazing. Like all the youth pastors walk in there like, if I just had this, like everything would be okay, which is a lie. And so I would, and you'd get youth pastors up there that have been doing it forever and famous names, and they've written books, and you're like, well, if I could just speak like them, or if I could fill in the blank. And I dealt with it even then of like, what am I? Like, what is my calling? Who am I in this? And I remember God early on in that really giving me a statement that I've regurgitated to myself over the years, and you can steal this. I probably heard it from someone else and stole it from them. Obedience isn't doing everything. Obedience is just doing what Jesus asked of you. Like, I looked at it and go, I'm failing because I'm not doing everything, when all God's asking me to do is to be faithful with what God has given me. And that's something that this comparison thing in our own life, in our own faith. And you see, the problem is we walk in here and we see the best. Like we've threatened our children, life and limb, about behaving while we're in this moment. And we may yell and fight on the way in, but like when we get in the parking lot, let's hold hands, dear. I'm going to put my arm around you. And so other people look at you and go, if I could just be like, if my family was like them, but you don't know that they're just as crazy as you are. They've just learned to fake it. I'm just telling you, everybody has bad days. And so we look at ourselves and go, my kids are crazy. Everybody's kids are crazy. There's a few people I've met over the year. I don't know what they do to their kids. Maybe drug them. But, you know, they walk the line, and it just seems like they, you know, I'm like, high five. But for most of us, we're just trying to love our kids and not shake them. Nowadays, when you give birth to children, they give you this purple sheet. It tells you not to shake your children. It's such an issue. If you've not had children lately, you don't get the little form that's like the purple thing. Anybody? Don't shake them babies. Okay. I don't know where I got on that. Okay. So it only depends on what. So just what God has called you. So your success is being faithful with the little that God has called you to be. And see, God is not under, and I think a lot of times in church we feel like we will grin and bear it and we will be faithful or else. See, Jesus is not after begrudging submission. He is after your joy. What you get out of this is joy. What do you get out of faithfulness is not like, I've been faithful. It's joy. Because see, what we're playing with now, literally the Bible says, is a moment, is a vapor. Like this life that seems like forever goes and comes. Our promise is eternity. So what we're playing for with this is entering into a joy that lasts forever. And if you notice, talent guy five and talent guy two, they were enjoying life here. So it's not just, let's grin and bear it so that. It's now. Verse 24, it says, He also who received the one talent came forward. And I love he begins to be defensive. He begins to make excuses. The other just came in and said, this is what I did, and here it is. And this one comes in, and he says, Master, I know you to be a hard man. Like, so, okay, if you're going to go talk to your boss, probably don't start with, he's a hard man. Okay. Or do, that might work, I don't know. Everybody's like, why? He is a hard man. Okay. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. And see, this person felt like he was somewhat being successful by giving God everything back that he had been given. See, one day God is going to collect everything that he's given you, whether you're faithful with it or not, which is our life. He will collect. And so this guy felt like, I didn't lose a penny of it. Like, here it is. Kind of thinking, well, thanks for keeping that for me. I hope he wasn't in the room watching the five talent guy and the two talent guys like, man, this is not going to go well. Maybe that's why he was defensive. And so he said, I was afraid, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master answered him, if you didn't know this is what you don't want to hear at the end of your life. You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. See, complacency and laziness will get you the same thing every time. If you bury something that isn't a seed in the ground, it's not going to reproduce anything. And see, some of us sitting in this room are terrified because you already know that God has placed something in you. And maybe you're afraid that you won't be, join the crowd, we'll have a support group afterwards. You're afraid that you won't be able to successfully manage what God has given you, which if he's given it to you, you can successfully manage it. But if you do nothing with it, and fear rules you. I love that song. You will be ruled if you allow fear. And that's partly why I mentioned that section in Joshua. I mean, they weren't done. So the basic theme of Joshua is God promises him the world. He does. You're going to get it. Like, you're going to get what you and your people have wanted for decades, for generations, for hundreds of years. You're going to have the promised land. Side note, you've got to destroy and defeat 31 kings to have it. There is no victory that we're going to ever walk into that is going to be easy. That's why earlier, right now, I mean, I think there's stuff that's going on inside of you, just like there's stuff going inside of me that God is telling you, put your foot on its neck and let him whisper into your ear. Don't be afraid. Because what will happen to your enemy is what I've declared to happen to your enemy. But only him. Verse 27, it says, then you ought to, and this is what God is telling the unwise servant. He says, then you ought to have invested my money. And this is where he's dealing with that. Like, you should have put it in the bank with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received it, what was my own, with interest. So he's saying, hey, these other guys, they were innovative. They did things with their investments that brought increase. You could have just literally made a deposit in the bank. When I've gave my theory why he did not do that. And then when God returned, when the master returned, at least there would have been interest. Verse 28, it says, so take the talent from him and give it to him that has the 10 talents. Listen to this. For everyone who has will be given more. And this is a little confusing. I'm going to try to give it a little bit of an explanation. And he will have, an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And this is what I believe the explanation of this. You're like, how can something be taken from you when you don't have anything? Okay. Here's what I believe this is saying. We can have this world and invest in the one thing that God values, which is his kingdom. Our only investment that will reap a return will be in his kingdom. Only. And so what I think it's saying is those that invest wisely, not in your 401k, which do. I'm not saying to not do that. I'm not saying to put money in the bank. What I am saying is that for those that take what God has given us, this life, our effort, our energy, our extra time, and we invest in the kingdom, that investment will reap a return. And what we have invested, there'll be much more. But those who say, forget the kingdom, because this is about my kingdom, and you spend your life investing in yourself and in your bank account, and your business succeeds, and you grow financially, and you grow in possessions, and all of these other things, that at the end of the life, when we're held accountable to our investment in the kingdom, those who've had much, meaning they have lot, there are people right now that have everything that you want, that at the end of the age, that at the end of their life, all of those things that they have so valued will be taken away and given to someone else. Even what you do have will be taken away. See, our view of the kingdom changes everything that we do, every penny that we spend, every moment that we have, every conversation that we have with other people. In verse 30, this is how he ends it. And he says, and cast the worthless servant into utter darkness in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't want that. So here's something to walk away with. And then one reflection, one more scripture, and then we're going to close. Jesus has given everyone talents according to their abilities. So if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, if you're in this room and you do know Jesus, everyone God has given talent to, the ability to build his kingdom. And we take our natural abilities to invest in. The side question is, whose talent is it? Because if you view it as your kingdom and your possession, like literally the scripture says that even your ability to gain wealth, to make wealth, to work, has been given to you by God. Everything that we have is his. Here's another thing to walk away with. Jesus will return and is expecting a return on his investment. It will happen to every one of us. Literally, the word says that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Our whole goal is to increase the number of people that are willing to bow. Everyone will bow to Jesus. But our whole mission as a church is to increase the number of those who will bow willingly. Meaning that they've chosen to follow and believe and trust in Jesus. Sound a little like country preacher right there with Jesus. Sorry. I am from Carthage, North Carolina. It is in the country. We did get our second stoplight not too long ago, so we're moving up in the world. And a Bojangles. Yes, they did. Here's another thing to walk away with. Jesus is only checking your work based on what you were given, not what someone else was given. I mean, look, comparison is the killer and robber of your joy. Here's the last something to walk away with, is God is after your joy. Not robbing it from you, but giving it to you. And so here's some reflections that I want you to just kind of process while we go into our last song of worship. Are you being faithful with the talents God has given you? If the answer is no, the great thing is Jesus has not returned. The Master has not returned. So there is time to be faithful in the future. See, if it is yes, continue to be faithful. If not, and I wish I would have been smart and planned things out, and I don't really do that a whole lot. I'm smart sometimes, don't plan things out a whole lot. It would have been fun to give everybody little mini shovels as a little pondering thing. I would rather you dig up what you've buried now and make it useful in the kingdom now than I would have you dig it up when Jesus returns. Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. God is in the business of growing his kingdom. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he came declaring it, to the last words that he said to his disciples after his resurrection, it is all about the kingdom that God is establishing. And if you're not a part of it, here is the greatness of it. Jesus has already paid your entrance fee into it. All you've got to do is to trust and believe in what he did on the cross for you. And so the simple part, as we go into worship, the simple part of the gospel is that you have separated yourself from God because of your own sin. We're all sinners, even those that are saved by grace. You were a sinner. Jesus knew that, saw into the future, knew his son had to come, sent him in at the perfect moment in our history. He lived the life that you could not, died the death that was yours to free you and to give you life. And that life was for his purpose and his glory, which is his kingdom. And so today you just trade your kingdom for his. And you begin to allow him to lead you where you cannot lead yourself. And so what I'd like to do is I'm going to pray. We're going to go in to our last song, and I just encourage you. And I said this from the beginning, is that if there's a part of you that is just weighed down so much because you feel like you've squandered what God has given you, God is not casting you into slavery so you have to fall victim from staying in that life. But he has given you victory so that you can take what you have buried and bring an increase. So the day when we go before God, your investment has made a return. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that today, everything that we need, you have given us. You have made us capable to use your investment to build your kingdom, to bring you more glory. And so, Lord, right now, we just need you. We need you to show us, to encourage. Lord, I pray just like you did with me this week and in confirming calling, Lord, I pray that you would just begin now to whisper into the ears of your children of what you've called them to be, what you've called them to do. And if there's anyone in this room and they don't know you, Lord, I pray that there would be joy and celebration as they embrace you as a loving Savior. And so, Lord, speak to us. as we worship you. And we pray these things in your mighty and powerful name. Amen.